welcome back to another edition of the Dog and Duck Show. Today it's going to be the Dog and Dog Show because with me I have Real Dog Radio, Real Dogs Mike Martin. I was going to say Real Dog Radio, but those days are a little bit past. But Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, and we will be reviving Real Dog Radio, fear not.
All right. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, today's episode is going to be a fall camp preview with Mike Martin. We're going to talk about what we can expect and some questions that we want to tackle as we look ahead to this fall camp season, the first fall camp with Coach Kalen DeBoer and his new staff. So before we do that, just want to touch on a little bit of dog news. So today is Wednesday, August 3rd. Tomorrow, when this podcast will be released, will be August 4th. And four-star safety Jordan Sanford is planning on announcing his commitment tomorrow. A lot of pundits are believing that this is a decision favoring the Dogs. So this would be a huge get for that Husky defensive backfield that's already gotten another four-star in Curly Reed and a four-star athlete who's projected to play safety in Vince Holmes. So this is a pretty loaded defensive backfield haul for new defensive backfield coach Juice Brown. Mike, how are you feeling about this Jordan Sanford commitment?
I will say that if he does become a Husky, this says a lot about Juice Brown. He was a recruiting coordinator when he was down at Texas Tech, so he knows Texas fairly well. He got Diesel Gordon out of there. If he gets Sanford, he'll get another kid out of Arlington. He's also the Huskies have also pulled a kid out of Curly Reed out of Louisiana. So, you know, he's ringing that Southern bell.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, the kind of the thought was that the Huskies weren't going to be able to pull out four stars out of Texas and South Carolina, but out of Louisiana, but getting two of the best defensive backs to come to the Pacific Northwest in their very first full recruiting class is pretty impressive. So we'll keep a close eye on that. Last week, the Huskies got a commit from three-star offensive tackle Kali Tafai, and he's coming out of Lawndale, California, 6'6", 300 pounds, and he seems to be fitting the mold of what Scott Huff and Ryan Grubb are looking for in this new era of trench dogs for the offensive line. Mike, do you have any additional insight on Tafai and what he brings to the table?
Well, he's a big dude. He looks pretty mobile. And I think that, and I've said this about several of the guys, and we've seen it happen with Holmes. We're going to see it happen with Landon Hatchett, where they aren't three-star kids for very long. I think Landon will be four-star by the time his signature is on the paper. I think that we'll see that out of the dude out of Colorado as well. These are some guys that, that you know, the Huskies have pieced together a class. I really can't wait to see what they can do when they have, you know, a full 365 days under their belt in a recruiting cycle and what they can do that way, because I don't think that there's it's a make or break season for recruiting. But I think that a winning season, you know, beating expectations, achieving the 8-4 expectations, I think will do a lot in helping the class as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Landon Hatchett. He is projected to be potentially a center or maybe, you know, a guard. he's the shortest of this incoming classes group at 6'3". But then you've got Elisha Jacket, who is 6'7". You've got Sawane Fasalo, who is 6'8". Tafai, who we mentioned, 6'6". And Zachary Henning, who's coming in at 6'6". That this seems to be an emphasis that they want to get length, they want to get height, and they want guys that are more mobile than maybe some of the guys from a couple years ago.
Yeah, you got to have guys that are able to punch and counter punch on that offensive line. I think we saw a lot of guys last season. They didn't seem like they were not really sure what happened in the 2 years, how it went from being a position of pride, position of strength, with Caleb McGarry, Trey Adams,
right,
Nick Harris, Coleman Shelton, Jake Eldenkamp. Those are five guys that made it to the NFL.
Yeah.
And so they have the quality there. What's it going to take to get back to that level of play? Scott Huff knows what he's doing. We'll see if they can really be able to churn out that offensive line talent. But they have to be able to punch, counter punch, but they also have to be mobile to be able to do the things that this offense wants to be able to do. And they have to be in shape because
yeah,
it's not exactly basketball on grass, but you have to be able to do a lot of things.
No doubt. You know, and I think, you know, not to continue to you know, bring back the past, but it seemed like to me that John Donovan, you know, he fit that proverbial statement of when you see every problem as a nail, then every solution is a hammer. And I think he just believed that if the guys were big enough, that all they had to do was just push ahead and they would, you know, get the yards they needed. But, you know, I think there's a place for power, but there's gotta be a place for finesse and skill and schemes and mobility. And that just was lacking last year. And I think we're going to see with Grubb and with Huff kind of rebranding this offensive line, I think we're going to see some much bigger holes through skill this year than we saw last year. But
well, it's going to be through scheme as well, because no matter what skill level you have, no matter what size you have, the other team still recruits big guys. They still recruit guys that if they know what's coming at them, they can just stand their ground. So you have to be able to fool the guy on the other side of the line with different things. And so it has to be size. It has to be skill. It has to be scheme.
Absolutely. Yeah, you hit it. Skill and scheme, those were missing last year, but I think we're going to see a massive improvement in that area. So let's dive in. Let's talk a little bit about fall camp, which starts tomorrow, August 4th. And I want to just tackle five storylines heading into camp. And if you've got anything else that you want to bring to the table, then just, you know, just interrupt and dive right in. But these are a few things that I had on my mind as we think about this fall camp. So the first one is, which quarterback will be able to best implement the new offense that has been installed by DeBoer and OC Ryan Grubb? Because, you know, I think we all know that each of these guys bring some really wonderful gifts to the table. So this is not a question of who's the best quarterback, who's going to have the best Husky career, but in this fall camp, who's going to walk out of this fall camp feeling most confident about their ability to run the Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb offense heading into the fall season?
Well, a case can be made for each of the quarterbacks. I know a lot of people want to throw Dylan Morris under the bus.
No.
But I've said it many occasions that you have to have somebody that can develop a quarterback, developing your quarterbacks, and he didn't have that. He was there for 13 games as a freshman, learning a new system. He's now learning his third new system. He went from, I'm trying to think of who the, Bush Hamden was there, then mm-hmm. John Donovan, and now Grubb. So, you know, he's going to have to undo a lot of knots for him to be successful. Can they get the terminology right for him so that they can make it easier to adapt? From everything that I've heard, these kids are hitting the books harder than they ever have. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it's going to be anything in the way of not familiar with the playbook, because I think they will be. So then I think that all three of those quarterbacks are going to be able to handle that. So I can't take anything out on them. I can't take, because they all have elite skill. People mm-hmm. forget that Dylan Morris was a four-star quarterback, and he was playing as a freshman. So there's a lot of things that probably the lowest rated of the guys coming out of high school would be Penix. Yeah. So, but he has the most game experience.
Right.
Now, Sam Heward, you heard Kalen DeBoer say that when they look at the ceiling of all of those guys, Heward has the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
How he can respond to adversity, how he can, because if I don't think they're going to ask him to be Jake Haner, where there's urine in it, or blood in his urine the next day, like after that USC game. But you have to have somebody that's resilient, that has a short memory, and somebody that that just gets it. It just has that X factor. I think initially that will be Penix, because he can extend plays. Dylan Morris can extend plays as well. Haven't really seen it from Sam Heward. The thing that we have seen from Heward, though, is that short-term memory, where he threw three interceptions and he didn't care. He went out and was still hucking the ball, mm-hmm. threw another interception, and he, you know, if they asked him to go throw the ball again, he'd do it. You know, that's how you learn, and that's the resiliency that I think they're looking for, not really somebody that can just get up in the fourth quarter after he's given up a kidney.
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, if Sam Heward were to do, when he was coming out of high school, if he were to do a blind taste test, let's say he didn't know which coach was responsible for which offense, and you showed him the Kalen DeBoer offense or the John Donovan offense and said, which one do you want to play in? He's going to pick the Kalen DeBoer offense all day, every day, because that's way closer to the kind of offense that he was running in high school, and a lot closer to the offense that UW was running back when he committed to the Dogs in the Chris Peterson era. So I think he's starting to settle in. We saw that in the spring game. I do think Michael Penix Jr. Definitely has the leg up because of having a full season with Kalen DeBoer as his offensive coordinator at Indiana. But I think, and this is no, I'm not down on Dylan Morris at all, but I think it's going to end up being Michael Penix at the one and Sam Heward at the two, for a couple reasons. One, because I want to make, I think they're going to want to make sure that they take care of that prized recruit in Sam Heward. But I think too, because Penix and Heward are both left-handed quarterbacks, and I think that provides a much greater continuity. If Penix needs to go out for any reason, they don't have to change any blocking schemes to keep their offensive running with Sam Heward at the number two. So that'll be worth keeping an eye on. Number two, the Husky running back room. And this has been such a unique thing, Mike, because it seemed like at one moment this running back room was just overstocked with big physical running backs. And then we blinked, and in the spring, the running back room was so empty that it was basically transfer Aaron Dumas and nobody else. And now I think the numbers have kind of balanced out and the skill sets have kind of balanced out. And I think the question that I have is, who will Grubb and running back coach Lee Marks peg to be their lead back? Are they going to go for that more traditional back like a Cam Davis? Are they going to look for the experienced power back like Richard Newton? Are they going to go for the versatile, more scat back like Aaron Dumas? Or is there a wild card like one of these guys like Wayne Tula Papa from Virginia? What are you seeing as kind of the pecking order for this Husky running back room?
There will be no pecking order. It's going to be up to the kids to determine that by their play. The thing that I think is going to be very interesting is the one thing that Caleb Berry, when he left Washington, he posted, "You're nothing more than a downhill runner." I think that tells you what Washington is really looking for is not just guys that can punish straight ahead, but guys that can do multiple things. You look at what their running back at Fresno State did.
Yeah, Monty Rivers. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a lot of things really good. So I think that you're going to have somebody that can catch the ball coming out of the backfield, that can pick up those blocks, that can, you got to be able to do everything back there. So I think it's going to come down to the pecking order that the kids establish with how they play, with how versatile they are, because I think that we see with the Husky position, with the Mike, with the Buck, they want versatility. They want guys that can do multiple things. And so I think that we're going to see that out of the running back position as well.
Mike, you know, it's hard to sometimes put a lot of stock into some of the things related to what, you know, what guys come into camp weighing, but with Aaron Dumas, I think we all expected, okay, this is, he's a smaller back. He's going to be more of a third down, you know, receiving scat back kind of a guy, but reports are is that he's coming into camp at 5'9", 208 pounds, having gained somewhere between 18 pounds. He was originally 190. Now he's 208. So do you think
he also lost? He also lost 2 inches. He came.
So, you know, well, I'm not going to put any stock into guys that are, you know, shorter. That just means that they were originally made taller than they were supposed to be. But if he's coming in at 5'9", 208, that tells me that he's trying to be, a four down back.
Well, I don't remember what Miles Gaskin's weight was, but I think he is 5'9". So it's not really the size or the weight. It's about what you can do. They probably had him on schedule to get up to 208, 210. I'm going to say probably somewhere between 205 and 210. And he kind of landed right there in the middle. And I think that there's not going to be another Miles Gaskin for a very long time. No. He was patient. He was able to help that offensive line develop because he was so patient and he could let plays develop. We're not going to see him another guy like that in probably your or my lifetime, given his size and everything that he did so well. But with Dumas, if he can be 80% of Miles Gaskin, be patient, let plays develop, find holes, and be able to lower those pads on guys, that's all you need. You don't have to have somebody that is 6'1", 220, that does all these other things. If you can have somebody that does everything really well, I think that's what they're looking for. Like we were saying, somebody that is multiple, that can, you know, and again, making guys miss in a phone booth. I think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And Miles Gaskin, by the way, 5'10", 194 pounds in the NFL. So, you know, a different body type, but I think to your point, I think it seems like Dumas, you know, he's wanting to get on the field and stay on the field as much as possible. All right. So question number three, and this might, you might need to, you know, take a second to think about this, Mike, but who has the most to gain or the most to lose coming in to this fall camp? So maybe there's a guy that, you know, if he doesn't perform, you know, he could lose his starting job. Or maybe there's a guy that, if he does what, you know, we believe he could do, he could be a guy that, you know, really ascends a couple notches on the pecking order. But who would you say, maybe you've got one of each, who has the most to gain, who has the most to lose coming in or coming out of this fall camp?
Well, the most to lose is Edipon Ulofa-Shio. If he's injured, yeah, and if you have somebody that comes in, steps in, and Cam Bright, if he can come in and get that position locked down, if he can do some things really well, you have Bruner on the other side. Yeah. You have a couple of guys that might be able to lock down that position before he gets back. So there's an opportunity right there, because that position, I think, is wide open. You might even see an Austin Arnoto get in there and get some playing time. So I think it's really hard to believe that a guy that is a Pro Football Focus All-American,
yeah,
and with a lot to lose, but we saw what happened to Azeem Victor. It really doesn't matter. Sometimes somebody just won't let go of the position. They don't slip up. They do everything right. You know, so it's going to be interesting to watch that. The most to gain would be a guy just ahead of him, and that's Ulumu Ale. And he goes to the defensive side of the ball. And they really need that big body in there. They lost Sam Tamani to Oregon. They lost Sam Apama to retirement. Mm-hmm. So they really need somebody to get in there that can jam up the middle. And if he can be 75% of Vita Vea, that's a good day.
That would be a tremendous thing if he's 75% of Vita Vea. Vita Vea is one of the greatest defensive tackles in the history of the Pac-12. So that would be a tremendous landing for him if he could target that. Yeah, I'm going to go with, most to lose. By the way, those are great picks. I'm going to go with Henry Bainuvalu. So here's a guy that nobody was expecting him to be back for another season. He's worked hard this season. He's gotten his body in great shape. He was praised by Kalen DeBoer and the, you know, Ron McKeefrey and that staff. But, you know, there are so many guys chomping at the bit to get a shot at that, right tackle position. And with Jackson Kirkland coming back and being locked into the left tackle, most likely, you're looking at, you know, just there's a real opportunity for someone to outplay Bainavalu and really grab a hold of that. Troy Faitanu might be that guy. You know, there's a number of guys that could fit the bill, Roger Rosengarten, but you know, I could see a scenario where the 6-year senior gets passed up and somebody grabs a hold of that position, like you said, and doesn't let go.
Yeah.
So then the most to lose, or the most to gain. So we talked a little bit about that. Mike, are you still there? Yeah, and as far as that most to gain, I'm going to pick one. This was in one of the articles that you guys just published, but I think it's a great pick, and that is Lonyada Alexander, the wide receiver who transferred in from Arizona State. He was one of Sam Huard's teammates in high school, and he showed out big time at the spring game or the spring preview earlier this year. I think he's a guy that could turn some heads and leapfrog some positions in that pecking order and really come on strong as the season progresses.
And yeah, I heard everything except the name you broke up.
Lonyada Alexander, formerly known Junior Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is a kid that when they do those 2-3-4 receiver sets,
mm-hmm.
He's a guy that when everybody is going, oh crap, I got Rome Odunze, I have Jalen Polk, I have Jalen McMillan coming at me, he can get lost in the shuffle. And he, you know, if you're buying stock, I think he's a good guy who's stock to buy because he can do a lot of things really well. And one of them is turning a guy inside out. I think that he can do, he can make a move in the dark spots of the defense where they kind of lose a guy in space.
No doubt. All right. So number four, Jimmy Lake had a competition every year when he was the defensive backfield coach and later the defensive coordinator and head coach for the best hands. And that was the most interceptions in fall camp. And there are some prestigious names on that trophy. Guys like Buda Baker, Byron Murphy, Miles Bryant, and Elijah Molden. So if Junior Brown, or yeah, if not Junior, if
Julius
Brown, if Julius Brown were to keep that trophy going, who do you see getting the most interceptions in fall camp? And will that carry forward into the season?
And I can't think of Dyson McCutcheon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good pick.
The reason I say him is because he is, I would say, sneaky fast, but they know how fast he is. But I think that he reads the ball really well. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this year. I think he's going to be one of the first guys off the bench. I don't think he's going to start, but I think, given the repetition that he's going to see, I think that as a second team or going against second team receivers, I think he can get a lot of picks there.
Most people are presuming that Mish Powell is going to take one of those cornerback position spots. A lot of people are predicting that transfer Jordan Perryman will take the other one, but that seems to be a little bit more up for grabs. I'm interested to see what a guy like Elijah Jackson does in this fall camp. Because if you remember, Mike, last year there was one defensive back that Jimmy Lake was raving about, and it was Elijah Jackson. He got injured. The season didn't go the way that, any of us anticipated. Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon were on the field almost all the time. So we didn't really get to see much of Elijah Jackson. He wasn't in spring camp because of injury, or he wasn't participating in spring camp. But he's a guy that I think could be a sneaky pick to be a Sidney Jones kind of a defensive back who doesn't, necessarily flash in the way that a guy like Byron Murphy did, but just does everything really well. And I could see him coming out of camp with the best hands in the room and really moving the needle in terms of his playing time.
And Cam Williams as well. Those are two guys. Cam started 3 games last year.
Cam started as a freshman.
Yeah. So he was in there with 3 guys that are in the NFL right now. Yeah. So he's very talented. He was able to hold his own until he got injured. So, there are that defensive back room lost 3 NFL guys, but there's some talent there.
No doubt. All right. Last question. Mike, I think for the first time in a long time, this Husky pass rush looks like it could truly be dominant on paper. We've got ZTF, who's rightfully getting picked for All-American teams, preseason All-American teams, award watch lists all over the country. But then you've got Braylon Trice, who former defensive line coach Ikaika Malloy said could be better than first-round draft pick Joe Tryon. You've got Jeremiah Martin, the transfer from Texas A&M, who really has started to come on over the last year or so. And then you've got 5-star local recruit Savelle Smalls, who really should be at the time in his college career where everything starts to come together for him as well. So, Mike, as you think about this edge rush that these dogs bring, what do you want to see from this group, coming out of the fall?
I tell you what, that is, like you said, on paper. We got to see if they can do it on the field. But, whoever is opposite ZTF initially, I think will really benefit, because when we find teams trying to key on Zion, I think that there's going to be somebody, Jeremiah Martin. He's big, he's fast, he's strong. Braylon Trice, someone even threw out the name Maurice Himes, yeah, who is 6'5", 261. So there are some guys that are high motor that I think that this fall camp, I don't think we really see a whole lot in the first couple of weeks. I think they work on a lot of just making sure everybody understands the signs. I don't think they want to really show it to the press. I think it goes under wraps, and then they unleash it against Michigan State. So, but I think that there are plenty of bodies, and I really cannot pick, because I'm excited about Smalls. I'm excited about Trice, Himes, Martin. And the thing that I hope is that ZTF can return to the COVID shortened season. Yeah. So that's my hope, that he can return to that monster that Tony Castro called him.
Yeah, and I think, when he had that brilliant breakout season, nobody saw that coming. Of course, he came in after Joe Tryon declared that he was going to opt out of the season and prepare for the NFL draft. And at that time, his playing weight was at about 250. And during the offseason, headed into the 21 year, they bulked him up. Of course, he injured his, he had to heal from his Achilles tendon. And he played last year at about 265. Then they brought his weight back down to 241. And now he's kind of come back up and he's right there at 249. So right at that, I think that's going to be his sweet spot, is at about 6'4", 250 pounds. And for me, the biggest thing that I want to see coming out of this fall camp with the edge rushers is I want to see these guys coming out of camp healthy. If they come out of camp healthy, I think we are going to be in for a really great season. And I would love to see between those two edge rushers, whoever our two starting edge rushers are, ZTF and Trice or Smalls or Martin, but I would like to see those guys get at least 16 sacks this year. And I think with a full season, they can do that. That's not, I think, pie in the sky thinking, but if we get 16 sacks out of our starting edge rushers, our defense is going to look very different than it has the past few years.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a funny story. Howie Kikaha, when he was at UW, I went up to him and I was like, you should change your number. He said, why is that? And I said, because that's how many sacks you're going to have. And he had 18 in the regular season, and in the bowl game, he got 19.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great story.
When you realize what the, one guy was able to do, and you don't think should be all that difficult.
Well, obviously as a college player, Kikaha was special in that final year. I think that may have been a Pac-12 record. So, but I think if we could get 16 sacks out of two guys, we're going to really like what we're seeing from that defense. And we haven't seen that kind of pressure from the outside since Kikaha. So I think this is our best bet to really reclaim that. But Mike, as we wrap this up, is there anything else that you just personally, you want to see, you want to hear, you want to feel confident about coming out of this fall camp?
Well, I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Okay.
Austin Harnato will be on scholarship by the end of camp. He's a walk-on right now, but I think that by the time Kent State rolls into town, he will be on scholarship.
And, you're making a bold prediction. Where is this coming from? Like, why are you singling out, one freshman, linebacker, walk on?
Because he is an absolute freak of a human being, not just who he is athletically, but he has a mindset, and I like to call it, he doesn't take no for an answer. That's on a play. He plays through the whistle. He tries to outlift everybody. He tries to do everything better than everybody. And I think he's going to turn a lot of heads this spring. A lot of people just call him 4-4. I've known him for about 2 years now. Okay. And I put him in front of some NFL scouts and they were blown away by his high school tape. And they said, this guy is clearly a power five linebacker. He will be a captain in his time at college at a Power 5 team. And I just have the feeling that he is the straw that may stir the drink for the defense.
Well, you know, we've seen this before. I mean, Edifuan Ulufosio, walk-on linebacker, you know, a year later, he's the starting linebacker and, you know, a PFF darling. Ben Burkervin, not a walk-on, but a lowly rated three-star. Honestly, Ben Burkervin's three-star rating is not that different from Austin Harnato's three-star rating. So I think, you know, you might be onto something. Linebacker to me is the one position where heart and instincts can do so much more for a linebacker than almost any other position. So those are things that are hard for, you know, coaches to evaluate just by looking at someone's tape, but you get them in the locker room, you get them on the practice field, and you start seeing what those guys can do, the angles they take, the relentless motor that they have. And so, man, if you're hearing good things about Harnato, let's keep an eye on that, because he might be the guy, like you said, that brings that death row mentality back to that linebacker room and really shut down the middle of the defensive line, which has been exposed the last few years in this Husky defense.
Yeah, and I won't say that I have heard anything. I'm not going to do anything like that. It is a feeling that I get. I just, everything that I've watched with him, the experts that I have put his tape in front of, they're pretty high on him. So,
you look at who he is. He's 6'3". He's 220 pounds. You know, he's strong. He's fast. This is a guy that has all of the tools. And, you know, with the COVID seasons and how that impacted recruiting, there are going to be gems that teams discover, like a guy like this, that, you know, a year or 2 years from now, people are going to be scratching their head going, how come nobody knew about this guy?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, the one thing that you look about Edifuan Ulufosio down there in when he was at Bishop Gorman, there's the GaoTOT, who was the big five-star guy that went to USC. The scouts that I talked to down there, they said the guy that we were worried about, what he was going to do, where he was going to line up, was Ulufosio. He was called Jeffrey back then. And, you know, he was everywhere, and he knew how to play every position wherever you put him, and he played all out. And the same things have been said about Harnato.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, Ulufosio was a two-star linebacker in high school. And Harnato's, you know, much, much higher rated guy, you know, coming out of high school. So let's cheer for that young man. And if you're right, then you heard it here, folks. Austin Harnato, the next walk-on to claim Husky greatness in a proud tradition. So, well, Mike, as we wrap it up, thanks so much for joining us for the Dog and Dog Show. And be sure to keep listening. Mark will be back soon. And Mike, maybe just give me 1 minute. What's coming up on realdog.com that our listeners need to know about?
Everything. We are going to cover like Amazon A to Z.
All right. So I love
we're gonna
it.
We're gonna have some interesting angles, and I have some stories that are not, they're real life related, not football. They are fascinating stories about players and them as human beings. And I want people to always remember that these are just kids.
I love it. I love it. Well, for all my dog fans out there, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.